welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Thanks so much for joining us. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We're archived at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and we are also rebroadcast on a2zen.fm. You want to check the website and their listings for when the program is broadcast. And actually, they run it more than once throughout the week, so kind of a nice advantage in that regard, so you can hear it again if you don't really want to take the time to download it from the archives page or the radio show's page. I'm Richard Dugan. Again, as I said, I'm your host, and I'm so glad that you join us each week and take part in what we have to offer. I was walking with my wife through Solvang, just northwest of Santa Barbara, in the Valley Country, as they call it, back in the Valley, as it were, and we went to a small little restaurant that provided a smorgasbord. Now, I didn't partake in the smorgasbord because I didn't want to eat that much. So, but we provide you with a smorgasbord. And actually, I don't know that that starts with an S-H, but it's actually spelled S-O, so maybe it's smorgasbord. Nonetheless, a lot for you to partake in if you choose to, if it resonates with you, if it works for you, go for it. We'd certainly encourage you to do so. We have a returning guest today, a returning guest to our program. It's always a lot of fun to find out how they've been doing, what they've been up to, and what's new in their lives, and today is no exception to that rule. The author of Power of Peace in You, The Power of Peace in You, and it is a revolutionary tool for hope, healing, and happiness in the 21st century, and thank goodness we're in the 21st century. We're also going to be talking about the simplicity of stillness with our guest, Marlies Carlin, and I want to thank you so much for joining us again. Thanks for coming back.
Oh, thank you. It's wonderful to be here with you today and with everyone.
You know, especially when it comes to the simplicity of stillness, as I see plastered all over your website, as well as, of course, your book, and you have CDs, and you have all kinds of other offerings as well, which obviously gives people an opportunity to delve into a great deal of what you are all about, including a CD that's, I don't know if this is part of the promotional book that was sent out or if this is part of the book when people order it, the CD that's on the back inside cover?
Well, when you get the Power of Peace in You, it does have a CD that comes with it at the back. And if you come to the website, we also have a gift of a free stillness session.
Yeah, and we're going to play one of those segments later on in the program, but I wanted to spend some time especially talking about this aspect of the simplicity of stillness. Big issue that is crossing not just the country, but the world, especially within the, we'll just say the metaphysical community, the spiritual community, trying to find that center, trying to find that time, that space, to reconnect, if you will, or try to stay connected, if you will. And I noticed myself, for example, when I was walking to get breakfast this morning, and I heard this flock of crows just squawking away, and I looked up, and I was just kind of following them as they flew around, and then they flew off into a particular direction, and they were gone. And then I looked back down at where I was walking to, and my thoughts began to travel to the issues of the day, challenges that I was facing that I needed to deal with. And then I actually physically stopped walking, and I thought, back there when I stopped to look at the crows, I wasn't thinking about anything. I was just observing and kind of being with the crows at that particular moment. Mm. That's part of, and again, and I thought about our interview and I and that phrase, the simplicity of stillness, that's kind of what you're talking about in a manner of speaking, isn't it?
Well, there is a depth of stillness that when you access it, you experience like a new level of awareness. So, what I do is define stillness in an entirely new way, because stillness has this energy stream, this vitalized energy stream moving through it. So that when you access what I'm speaking of through the Simplicity of Stillness method, it activates enormous vitality throughout your entire body and mind. And you also are able to access levels of deep meditative states that are very rare. So it's really about that connecting with that energy stream. And so often when I speak of stillness, sometimes people say, well, I can't hold still. It's not about holding still at all. And can it happen in that moment? Yes. But to receive the benefits that people get when they do this method, which is, you know, pulling out of depression literally in hours, you know, from being diagnosed with depression, from people who had fibromyalgia, from people who've been addicted, to within 24 hours suddenly not doing alcohol that they had been doing for like a couple of years, the level of alcohol. So yes, you can access moments of clarity like you did, you know, when you stopped to watch the crows, and now you want to take it to an even higher level of awareness that really starts to completely heal your entire body and ignite new layers of this evolutionary awareness that's coming to us now.
How'd you become I just read the phrase. How did you become an inner peace expert? How did that happen?
Isn't that amazing?
What school did you go to?
I'm going to live 24/7 in very high activity. But I'll tell you, I just had been asked to do a scientific study of the simplicity of stillness with people who have ALS and their caregivers. And during the course of that study, 96.5% went into deeper states of relaxation and inner peace within moments of doing their first stillness session. So it's something that takes you there. And believe me, I always had a difficult time with meditation. You know, I'd sit and do it for over 20 years. I did, saying, okay. And I would have laundry lists, you know, running through my head. And what happens with the simplicity of stillness is that in the methodology, particularly with stillness sessions, it's that energy stream that moves through it that begins to literally move you into states of deep peace that you haven't known. So it became easy to become an expert at it because every time people do it, and I do it myself, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. Everybody can become an inner peace expert. It's that simple.
Well, and I think that it certainly... It seems like it's needed more and more every day. Our technology, there's the question now about whether our technology is actually helping us or actually hurting us. And some might say, well, it kind of depends on who you talk to. Well, maybe so. But I have to wonder if the parts of the world that don't have the technologies that you and I have access to, how are they doing? I mean, are they kind of just enjoying their lives? I think about, in particular, what flashes to mind are the indigenous peoples, especially down in the rainforest or what's left of the rainforest. Mm. They don't have this technology. They have no clue as to what it is, what it does, that it even exists. What would they do with it if they knew that it existed in the first place? They're just going about living their lives.
Well, I think it's all different, and I have spent time with indigenous people around the world. And what I find is there's a distinct difference between different tribes as well, because many people don't have access to even the simple, basic needs of life. And so there you'll find people who are drinking alcohol or forms of that, and, which is what we saw happening with the American Indian, you know, when they got pushed aside, right? And what do you do with life? So actually they can be in a lot of pain in that way. Then you could also go into, you know, Peru, where you're going to have tribes of people who've been in deep study of these subtle energies that we're tapping into and that are available. And then they're living totally thrilled away from technology.
Yeah.
You know, and now what I say is, look, you see what exists around you. and utilize it for your best. And in every sense, that's what you can do with this technology. How else could people access the many things that are available today that can literally resonate around the globe? You know, when we want to connect with each other, it can happen within minutes, and suddenly you are connecting with people all over the globe. That's extraordinary. That allows that energy stream of life to suddenly bring into connection where now you're resonating with people as a larger group and bringing into higher and higher levels of understanding. So use technology for what it's good for, and then shut it off at other times, because as you might know, you know, television sets, radios, sometimes, you know, these towers are resonating frequencies that actually might not be that good for us. So it's important to really find which parts of it work for you and which parts don't.
It kind of goes back to what I said about what people can take from this program. You know, it's there. Take what you need and leave the rest, as it were.
Yeah.
This is, to me, almost, there's a, I don't want to say that there's an urgency about anything that we're talking about, because I've been talking with people now for the last 3 or 4 months as we headed into 2014, and now that we're into it, everyone seems to have this energized perspective and attitude about 2014. Not that there's going to be this one climactic event per se, but they just have this feeling that 2014 is more than just a pivotal point in our history, in our timeline, if you will. Mm. That there's great anticipation, there's great expectation for wonderful transformation and change to things that many of the people on the planet are really hoping for. Bottom line is because the things of the 20th century aren't panning out quite the way that a lot of folks thought that they would, and that everybody, you know, people want to change. And I kind of remind people not to be, because I consider myself an optimist, but not to be the pessimist, but say, okay, well, but let's take a look at what happened during what was called the changes in government, especially in Egypt, the revolutionary winter. I forget what the name was, but anyway, and the people, step one was they threw out the old guard and they got a new guard in, and that didn't work out so well. And so they wanted the new guard out and a newer guard in. So it's kind of like you're asking for change and you have these expectations. And I think maybe that's what the difference is that we're all sort of in our minds, in our imaginations, we're wanting and desiring and sort of mentally creating what it is that we would like to see in our world in this year.
You know, the mind can only create from what's been put into it. So if you try to create from the mind, you're probably not going to get too far. So you want to access that higher consciousness and then create from the intuitive mind when it's connected to higher levels of consciousness. And what happens is you begin to understand and experience that power that exists within you. You find a contentment and a joy. And from that inspiration or guided of what you can individually do to make a difference in the coming world. But if we're only putting focus on what's coming, that's part of that place of, I'm not enough. It's not enough. It's not happening. You know, and I think as you resonate with this higher level of awareness, you're bringing people and yourself into higher states of healing and peace and love that resonate that shift. So how can the people in Egypt, if they've come from high states of anger, immediately shift into a place that begins to bring about a government and a new way of living? You can't do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's phenomenal what they did with the breaking through. That's fantastic. But then you've got to get back into that place that really makes the most conscious breakthrough of all.
Do you think that, do you yourself have the kind of feelings towards this time period in which we're in that I've described that others have shared?
I'm excited about life every day.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't, I don't want to put it, you know, everybody put a big marker on 2012.
Mm-hmm. And in a very negative, a lot of people in a very negative context too.
Well, and they put a lot of positive that everything would turn around in 2012. But if you look around you and you see the subtle changes, there are a lot of subtle changes that have occurred. There are also a lot of great challenges that have occurred. And, you know, so what I see is when you get into this powerful connection with who you are, with the higher levels of awareness that are accessible today, then you have to bring it into life right now. Because if you're only looking towards something and you're having difficulty paying your rent, and if you're only aiming towards something and you're not finding the love of your life that you want and life is upside down, take care of what's here. See, that's what's so great with the simplicity of stillness. Because as you begin integrating the stillness sessions into your life, things begin very naturally shifting. And all of a sudden, you have awareness of where you've been blocked. And what happens is that energy field works not only on your physical body, but it works mentally and spiritually as well. So you're hitting all the levels of life all at once. And what has shifted since the last time I saw you is that I began to see an up-leveling of this energy and how people could access it in different ways than before. So it's not only like in the power piece in you, there is an 18-minute stillness session, which is like a meditative stillness session. And now what's coming out are different formats, some in as little as 5 minutes. And people have suddenly accessed deep levels of healing in 5 minutes' time. They become aware more. So it opens up that intuitive knowing that you have that guides you to greater prosperity. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So putting your focus on that, and you look around you, and of course, look, I look up in the sky, and I can see that geoengineering happening, and it is depressing, you know, the chemtrails. But simultaneously, when I am in a greater place of connection, I know that I'm supporting that shift in awareness that will bring about change. And that, you know, each person will be doing exactly what is appropriate for them. Like right now, Marianne Williamson is running for Congress. How fantastic. Can you imagine having a light like that in Congress? So each person connected to that knowing within them will find the right method of where to go, what their purpose is, to continue bringing about a greater evolution for all of us.
You know, that's very interesting that she's running for political office. I hope that she wins. I look at it this way. If an actor can win on a local or national level, then someone of a different mindset, and I would hope that she would have some level of... I think they should be afraid of her when she does get to Washington, because she is going to make some serious inroads in that regard.
She will speak her mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk a little bit about what you just mentioned about what I referred to, I don't personally refer to it. The words that are used are still small voice, inner voice, the voice of God, the higher self. I mean, the list goes on. Mm-hmm. And I've been having conversations with our guests over the last few months in regards to that, in regards to each one of us listening to and then following. I've had a number of experiences over my life where even like when I was bicycling, when I used to bicycle everywhere in Phoenix, and I had this prompting, okay, turn right at this next signaled intersection. And light turns green, and I just kept going on straight. And the prompting didn't go away just because I crossed the intersection. I went halfway down the block which was half a mile. And I turned around and I went back and I made the what became the left turn. In other words, I went the direction I was being prompted. I don't know why. All I know was that would not go away. And I went the direction. I went that direction, turned another street, and I got to work just fine. No problems. Who knows? Was I being guided so that I would avoid an accident? Any number of things, that I was going to see something. I mean, these are the kinds of things we just don't have the answers to. And I guess the biggest question, because this comes up quite a bit, is Marlise, is the fact that how can I be sure that that was that intuition, that guidance from, shall we say, that guidance from on high? Because a lot of people are concerned about that, saying, well, yeah, I get all kinds of voices in my head telling me to do all kinds of stuff. And I'm not talking about people in institutions. I'm just people that I come across every day. Yeah. You know, they got all kinds of stuff going on and they're right. being pulled in multiple directions. So through this simplicity of stillness method, that's something that I'm going to be able to discern and know that I know that I know that this is the voice that I want to listen to.
Yeah, it is. And it's a lot more than an aha moment.
Okay.
It's a very high resonance that you begin to understand much more deeply. So the simplicity of stillness has three main elements. Stillness sessions, which activate that those higher energies within you. And you can add them to any practice that you might have, or they become the main practice for many people. Then there are the teachings that are drawn from ancient wisdom, that are drawn from healing modalities over 20 years that I studied all of these, and from the new science. And the new science is pulling in as well. Then add in that experiential energy stream that began to move through me after I had the series of experiences. So as you learn the practices, and there are practices about levels of reaching your intuitive abilities. And you've accessed that space of connection through the stillness sessions, you'll begin hearing more and more and more messages, but they arrive through all the senses. So they're not just from a voice inside.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they arrive all, you know, in all these different ways. You begin to perceive things, you know, and then you start landing in that world of synchronicity where the synchronicity picks up more and more. But see, what you're aiming at is a level of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to be able to, when you hear that, turn right then.
Mm-hmm.
Turn right. Now, even if you don't see the resolve or you didn't get it, there will be 90% of the time when it happens that you do see immediately what it is. And if you don't see it immediately, you'll see it within the next week or the next month. So it begins giving you more and more evidence. And look, this is where people have a lot of concern. So I make that, like say, I make that choice in a job, and then the job doesn't turn out to be what I wanted. Or I make that choice with that man, and he didn't turn out to be what I wanted. You know, it's not about one choice in this entire life, is it? We're constantly changing. Take a look and see, was there a reason that you got in this relationship? What did you learn from it? Is it time to shift out of it now because you learned the lesson you were meant to learn? What did you get by getting that job? What did you learn from it? And then the next time, just keep, you know, going back, because you want to include your intention with this too. So it's pulling all the different practices together so that they become conscious habits in your life. And then as that stream of vital life force begins moving through you, you literally feel it. You don't even have to wonder if you're in a state of connection. You feel it. And then there's cumulative, you know, it's a cumulative practice. And so you notice your awareness expanding more over time.
I think that, and I chuckle sometimes at myself because of a statement that I wrote during an intensive I went through back in 1990, early 90s. I said, I will listen to and follow in very large letters the promptings of the still small voice. And not realizing the kind of box that I had just placed myself in a manner of speaking. But I've learned, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this guidance, we'll call it, this voice will never, ever, ever harm you. It may challenge you in terms of the guidance, but it's there for your benefit and only for your benefit, right?
Yeah. But you want to remember that as part of our evolution, there will be what you sometimes can't hear, the really high voice, because the consciousness hasn't opened up enough to hear it. So the more you access higher consciousness, then the more you'll hear the messages, and they become clearer and clearer and clearer. So that's part of what our journey is about. It's also releasing the blockage and the constraints of the past. So I'll tell you, I was one of the people in the scientific study was a woman who, she was a caregiver, and she was in a state of frustration quite a bit. And I suddenly tapped in and got, what is it? I've never seen anybody, and you know, over a decade of working with people, I've never seen anybody to the level of where she is. And as I spoke to her, I said, I'd like you to look into if there was any kind of, or what kind of, what was your mother at when you were born? Or what was going on in, you know, just before you were born when she was pregnant and this and that. And she goes, well, they had moved into a new home. My father was punching holes in the wall. My mother didn't realize he was psychotic. And she was extremely anxious. And I said, that's so interesting, because do you know that the second biggest illness today after depression is anxiety disorder? And it's a chemical imbalance that actually begins running through your body. And as you understand the energy of the new science of epigenetics, you can understand that some of that you came in with. So now that you have the understanding, the more you begin to open and do the stillness sessions, that begins to release. So you have to begin shifting that, even the chemicals in your body. You see what I'm saying? That's what triggers are. You know, when you feel that trigger and you know better, but you're still like, oh. That's that chemical imbalance in the body. And that's what's so great with the simplicity of stillness, because it begins working on the cellular structure and the memories, the emotional memories that are impacted in the cells of your body. It's not just what you know now. It's what's in the subconscious that you want to release and let go. So it's all part of a package of moving into higher consciousness. The more you can let go of, the higher you can go into consciousness as well. So it's not about hanging out in the past. I'm not into that at all.
No. Not at all.
It's not about singing the blues. It's because what you got to get is, what we have access to today is phenomenal. This used to only be available to, you know, a handful of people in each era. And now it's becoming more accessible. So tapping into that will begin to release whatever it is that's, you know, in your heritage that it's time to let go of, whatever in any trauma or pain that you might be challenged with. And as you do, you just start sensing this place of freedom and joy and contentment. And that's where 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 are
going to be fantastic. I think that one of the greatest things that we can do for ourselves in that regard to maintain that fantastic aspect to these coming years ahead, and I've been, some stuff's been shared with me by some of my guests, to directions that I'm supposed to take and this, that, and the other, and which is great, is not allowing the universe, as it were, and we're talking about the other, the realities of this world, this illusion that we live in, as it is called, not allowing it to distract us. But that's its job, in a manner of speaking, is to distract us from staying focused, isn't it?
Mm. Well, you know, it's part of the play, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because staying focused 24/7 is pretty darn impossible. But what happens as you, you know, get more and more connected, you're so aware when you go off kilter that you can bring that awareness to getting back. And so you do the three breath awareness, which is one of the practices. And now it's like you begin feeling that resonance moving through you because it's actually a physical sensation. So you don't have to wonder if anything's happening. And all of a sudden, just as that energy begins to move through you, and in that moment of stillness, the inspiration comes in. Ah, I know what to do.
Yeah.
So it assists you. Look, if we were just on this only point of everything is groovy 24/7, you would have no place of growth. And we're on an evolutionary journey. We have only begun to tap into the extraordinary light and illumination that is possible for every single one of us. And it's not a bad journey. I mean, don't you like to learn? I do. I love it.
Tell me about this simplicity in stillness 2.0. I mean, we've discussed a great deal of it already. But tell me about what this means in terms of, compare it to 1.0, if you will.
Yeah. Now, that was just kind of a fun thing we did to put 2.0, but it is to get, just to give you an indicator.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just that as you tap in to that deep knowing within you and you allow that current of life to move through you, you're going to evolve. And so everything that I have done since writing the book has brought me to new levels of understanding, new levels of empowerment. And all of that is meant for I'm a teacher and a student, you know what I'm saying, to bring and to share with everyone. So we all, as teachers and students, begin resonating on even higher levels. And that's the 2.0 and the 3.0 and on and on and on.
Yeah.
You know, when you spoke about technology and the dangers of it, you know, there's even talk that we're going to reach that day when computers could absolutely overtake us in a sense. They can access so much more knowledge than we can so rapidly, can't they? And yet, we're talking about consciousness. We're talking about levels of consciousness that a computer will never access. So we want to keep accessing these levels of consciousness and deep love. And that love has a capital L. It's not the relationship love that you see where you can walk away from it. It's a point of reference that literally streams through your entire body and mind and brings you into such another understanding of who we totally are. And that's what you want to do. Take those steps to that evolutionary journey and allow yourself to really play in the world of who you are. And know that when everybody trips and falls down, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But the more conscious we become, we get up faster. We don't get angry as quick. We notice triggers when they appear. We suddenly notice that we have greater and greater relationships surrounding us. More and more prosperity is pouring in the door. We love what we do and the work that we are here to offer. So if you're not finding that in your life, then that's an indicator that it's time to include a practice like the simplicity of stillness that can begin shifting your life in such a simple, simple way.
Absolutely. Well, one of the simple things we need to do here is take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk more with Marissa Carlin. She is the author of The Power of Peace in You. It is a revolutionary new tool for hope, healing, and happiness in the 21st century. She's also the creator of the Simplicity Through Stillness 2.0, if you will. We encourage you to check out the website, which is, by definition, it is Marissa Carlin, Marlise Carlin, marlisecarlin.com, and the Simplicity of Stillness. So we Check that out. We'll be back. We're going to take a listen to an audio excerpt from the stillness, the Simplicity and Stillness audio, and then we're going to come back with more here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. This is New Paradigms for a New World, and we encourage you to stay with us.
Oh, come on, walk with me. Talk with me.
We are trying our very best to understand where our guests are coming from, the work that they're doing, and the things that they have lived through and worked through, and they're here to help you and me. I still consider this to be sort of my therapy session, as it were. And Marlise Carlin is my guest, my therapist today, yours as well, through the book, The Power of Peace in You. And that has to do with a revolutionary tool for hope, healing, and happiness in the 21st century. And it is definitely related to, inseparable from the simplicity of stillness method. And we're talking about that in the 2.0 version. And obviously, it's a continual progression. It will continue to grow and expand. And we certainly hope that you enjoyed the excerpt we played before we went to break. I wanted to also ask you, Marlise, in terms of you have workshops all over the place. Matter of fact, as of our conversation here, you just wrapped up one in Phoenix, my hometown. And I'm obviously people, as we've talked many times on this program, that you know people come to the messages that they're led to come to, so to speak, or the people, or the books, the CDs, et cetera, the, even places to live for that matter, and jobs. So you have a lot of people that are drawn to you and the work that you're doing. And I'm just curious as to if there was a phrase that I heard in one of my intensives, you are where you are, and if you didn't want to be where you are, then you wouldn't be there. So obviously you want to be here, wherever you physically are, which was a hard one to swallow because you know, there was a lot of resistance, and there usually is in the beginning of some of these intensives that I went through. Yours is, I don't know that yours is set up quite the same. I personally haven't been through it. I have listened to the audio tapes, the audio recordings. But I'm curious as to the state of people that you encounter in these groups. Are most all of them just flat out, they're really, really, really ready and they just jump in and away they go? Or are you still finding some of those who they still have a little bit of resistance?
Well, everybody comes where they are, like you said. And because the simplicity of stillness can be easily integrated and applied by someone who's never done any spiritual work at all, as well as people who've been doing it 40 years. So the most important thing is to offer it in a way that's so simple that the mind can grasp it. But beyond that, when you're in the experience, everything begins to shift. So what I find is that people come in wherever they are. They have the thinking mind that's trying to figure it out and looking at it. And then after we do a stillness session, everything shifts. And so the room begins to shift more and more. And I recently did a program in upstate New York. And I had a woman who was shifting out of a 40-year marriage. And I had a Marine who had post-traumatic stress. And I had a young guy who'd accidentally caught his mother's garage on fire. And I,
wow.
You know, so they're all, everybody's so different, and they have all different levels of understanding when they walk in the door. And that's what's so cool, is offering something that is so simplistic, you can add it to your life literally by putting it in. This is why I love technology. You can put the different stillness sessions and the audio courses right into your cell phone, into your computer. However you like to learn, it comes to you. Like I myself, in the morning, don't get out of bed. I'll play one of the sacred word sound audios, and it just sets the day in the right tone, you know. And then in the middle of the day, suddenly I'll do the three-breath awareness and really get deeper into that place of connection. So it's finding ways to weave it into your life each day, no matter where you are, because no matter where you are, you're going to shift. You know, you're going to find yourself getting healthier. You're going to find yourself getting happier. And at the end of the day, isn't that what's important?
Well, that's what we're looking for. There's no question about it. And I know that there are times when, as wonderful a place as it is to live, and again, this is not to now say, but Santa Barbara is a rat hole. No. I'm not saying that. Right. It is a wonderful place to live. But sometimes you get so wrapped up in what you're doing, as much as you love doing it. And I guess I consider myself one of the lucky ones, Marlise, that I took my father's advice very early on, and that was to find a job that you love doing because you're going to be doing it a long time. And in spite of that, there is still always that, I've got to get down to the water. I've got to get down to the water. You know, that was the reason I moved here, was part of the reason I moved here. And there are those strings of days that go by, and there is no getting down to the water.
Mm.
And
go
ahead.
Go ahead. My guess would be that what the water represents to you is that place of stillness. Because when you're there and you look out at the ocean, everything is okay. Everything is perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you want to do is be able to tap into that place even when you don't get to the water. Because life can be tough. And life is very difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Listen, I came from, you know, really tough times. I ran away from home at 16, was totally on drugs and alcohol, you know, was disowned by my parents. You know, I know what it's like for life to be tough. And the greatest thing that you can get is to find that place of stillness within yourself that can happen even in a crowded room, even in the midst of chaos. Because that's where you're going to access that intuitive knowing that exists inside you. And I know sometimes there's a resistance to saying, I don't want to do stillness, that sounds boring. And I get, you know, I remember years ago I went on a holiday with my former husband. And I think I read, at the time I was working in Hollywood, I think I read like 12 scripts. And I was sitting in a beautiful place.
Uh-huh.
I should be looking out at the ocean, and instead I read 12 scripts. Are you crazy? That was my mindset. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It always had to be moving and doing and acting and going. And look, I'm still incredibly active. It isn't that I'm not active. I am. It's finding that resonance of stillness within yourself. And that's the place where you feel that conscious awareness, just like, wow, you know, you can see through things. You can tell what people are going to do before they do it. You know which direction to go when things start not working. And you don't look at it as bad. You look at it as, oh, I wonder what I'm being told to do now. I better turn. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you just want to get in that place where you begin moving through life with greater ease. And so that way, you know, like what you said, look, we can all look around. Not everybody gets to live in, you know, beautiful sites in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been in some of the most beautiful sites in the world, and people are just as unhappy.
I noticed that.
It's not about what you're looking out at. It's what you're looking in on.
Exactly. It's what's going on on the inside that, like you say, it doesn't matter what's on the outside. It's just, it is an extraordinary experience that I have had over, my goodness, the last 35 years of doing this work, in terms of being in broadcasting and interviewing and so forth. And I have met some extraordinary people. I mean, every time I do one of these programs, I meet an extraordinary person, and I get to go into a world I've never been in before. And even when I have returning guests such as yourself, it's still a new world. Because you have had these new experiences and you bring them forth through the programs that you offer, through the work that you're doing. And I think that I've kind of been quoting this gentleman's book for the last few interviews. I can't help it. It just comes to mind. James Redfield's Celestine Prophecy, and the message of how each one of us has a message for the other, and that is, it's incumbent upon us to share that message. Mm-hmm. And that's really, I think, more than anything else, that's really what this program is about. I don't know whether what you're telling me is the truth or not. I feel it. I you know, inside I do. But what I'm saying is, that's not the point. It's what does the listener think? What does the listener feel? Where are they coming from, and is what you're saying resonating with them? And I think that that's something for each of us, whether we're working in the areas, say, that you are, and traveling about and holding programs and seminars and workshops and so forth, and creating all of this this wonderful, wondrous stuff, or if we're working our 9-to-5s in the small town that we live in, each one of us still has a message, and it's important that we share it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, it's interesting in what you said, because there was a man on the Facebook recently, and somebody had reposted one of my one of the quotes and pieces from The Power of Peace in You. And people began talking about it back and forth. And one man was saying, well, how do I know it's not just some mumbo-jumbo New Age kind of thing? And how do I know, you know, what to believe?
Yeah.
And it was interesting, because many of the people on there were telling their experience of the simplicity of stillness. So I was like, oh, this is great. They can tell them. I don't have to say a word. And then when I put in there, I said, I just want you to know what you're really going to love about this work is you don't have to believe a word I say, not one. Just do it. Because when you do it, your experience tells you. That's all. Do it one time. Let your experience tell you. That's the knowing. Because, you know, it's like everyone. How many kids have you ever told to do something? It doesn't resonate if they're not ready.
Right.
You know, how many people have you told that you saw that were in total pain? If they're not ready, they're not ready. But when you do it and you experience it for yourself, it wakes up this knowing in you saying, well, even though I don't understand it, if that's the case, I get it. It's different.
Yeah, that's one of the things that a frequent guest on this program, Greg Braden, has talked about, and that is from his book, Healing a Power, Spontaneous Healing of Belief, Going from Belief to Knowing. And
yeah,
it's not something that you have to justify. I remember working for the Christian radio station and thinking that I had to justify where I stood, primarily philosophically, with other people who were challenging my own personal beliefs, and that I had to stand there and defend. And I thought, and it took me a while, and I finally realized, wait a minute, I don't have to defend this to anyone.
Right.
This is mine and mine alone. And, you know, if I want to phrase it in the context of my relationship with God, is just that, mine. any more than I have to justify my relationship with my wife. That's my relationship with my wife, and yeah, and with her, vice versa. And yet it's one thing to share your experiences, but again, it is another thing to sit there and dogmatically state, no, this is what's true. And it took me a long time to really grasp that concept, that if it's true for you, it's true. That may befuddle those who are stuck in their theology, their doctrine and their dogma, but that's not your problem. You have to stand firm on what you know in your heart to be true. And I think that your simplicity, the simplicity of stillness, I think can help each one of us, because I've been to intuitives and psychics and seers and this kind of thing, and I've taken the position that they do nothing more for me than confirm what I already know. Sometimes if I'm in that space where I'm not feeling real confident, I just I just need somebody to reaffirm for me that which, in essence, I already know.
Yeah.
But if we go through this, it sounds to me like we go through the simplicity of stillness. You know, it's not necessarily that you have to stop going to these people, but you can. You don't have to worry about needing external confirmation.
Yes. No, it's like you said, it then becomes enjoyable and fun and like that. And I have found that, you know, the mediums that are really resonating on a high level absolutely are teaching people to go within and find that knowing within, because they realize that many people are wanting other people to tell them what to do. And now it's getting more to where we can become empowered within ourselves. And so really it's about becoming empowered and then enjoying your own intuitive abilities. But also, you know, it's fun to hear, like, this could be the thing you share with each other. You have something to share with this medium and he has something to share with you, you know, which is a beautiful thing, because then it's that coming together. And I think there are many gifted mediums, you know, out there. And those that I would find that are really resonating on that high level, they always turn you back to you.
It's almost as if the religious institutions of the last 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 years have constantly been telling us that they have the answers. And now we are all starting to learn. And it is a process, because we're that learning of going to them is starting to shift and change. And we're beginning to realize, oh, that's right. I'm just as connected. I'm just as connected as they are. And I can get my answers if I will just find, as you say, find that quiet place, find that still place. And as much as, yes, I certainly want to get down to the water, I don't have to be there, as you said. I need to find the space, that still, that quiet place within me, in order to have that voice resonate in my head or heart, as it were.
Yes. You know, when in the scientific study, there were people who believed in God, Baptist, the Lord, Protestant, nature and its evolution, Allah, energy as a source of all. So there was every walk of life you could imagine. And they all were activated and in that space of peace that the stillness sessions offered and that the simplicity of stillness method offered. And they all, you know, I would say, like I said, 96.5%. And actually that difference was with the woman who had such anxiety, but later told me, oh my God, I love the stillness sessions. I wish I could do them night and day. Then I wouldn't ever have anxiety. You know, she had so much chemical imbalance in her body.
Yeah.
She had to do it over a level of time to begin to shift. So that's where people sometimes won't resonate right away, because that there could be so much blockage within.
Yeah.
That move into harmony is going to take more of that purifying and letting go, you know? So it's all a beautiful journey. It's a beautiful journey. But like I said, that, you know, the simplicity of stillness is a tool, just like meditation.
Yeah.
And it's to take you to where you can access that place of deep stillness and find the inspiration and find that the triggers are leaving you and see yourself become healthier. And when you're not seeing that, you want to keep adding in those practices. You want to keep resonating with the stillness sessions, because they're always going to take you higher.
You know, you make me think about, are you familiar with crystal radios?
No.
It's going back to the 50s. And these were radios, 50s and 60s, that you could build and pick up radio stations. It was a spool of copper wire and some crystal diodes or things of this nature. I don't know all of the specifics, but all I know is that this radio sat on this circuit board. And once you had it put together properly, you could pick up radio stations. You could pick up those frequencies that were floating through the air. And when you talk about chemical imbalances, I think about that crystal radio set and think, well, yeah, and if you don't have that spool of wire wound properly or enough turns, you don't have the right circuits or diodes or tubes or whatever it is that is encumbered, that is part of the kit, if you start adding stuff or you start taking stuff away, you won't get those signals. Mm. And that's really what you're talking about here in terms of that chemical imbalance, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. You nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Are there, beyond the stillness, beyond the simplicity of stillness method, are there other things that are you're suggesting that people can use to get themselves back into chemical balance? Or is this method, you've kind of described it, but is this method the only method that you need? And I don't mean that as the be all and end all.
Right.
But to get back into balance, you use this method and it will assist your body in getting back into chemical balance?
This is what I would said to the people in the study.
Okay.
Number one is that the most important thing that could happen is that you access the highest knowing of who you are, and you experience that throughout your entire body, mind, and soul. Because then when you pass, whenever that might be, you will have attained what you came here to figure out. I said, we're all going to die, you know what I'm saying? But you want to be able to access that. Now, given that you're here and you want to make life as beautiful as it possibly can be in the midst of some of the deepest challenges any human being could ever have, which is exactly what they're going through, the more you activate and begin living from that deeper knowing, you will draw different elements into your life that can support your overall health and well-being. So find the doctor traditional doctor who absolutely believes and wants to walk the journey that you've chosen. And this is what I say to people who have cancer when they come. You know, don't go in and have somebody tell you everything what to do about your body. Draw the right people to you. Draw a healing modality to you of someone who does beautiful body work that can put your body feeling better, but also resonate on those higher levels. You see what I'm saying? So begin to draw in the understanding of what food you could be eating that would support your health and well-being. So draw it in from all these places. And that's what I love with the simplicity of stillness. It just activates that deep knowing so you can go and start drawing in different elements that will support your overall well-being.
I know that my wife has been going through she's doing this cleanse, and she's already noticing the changes in her appetite, mm-hmm. in the things that she likes, that she wants to eat. But she's noticing those kinds of subtle changes just through this. It's a physical kind of cleanse.
Right.
It sounds to me like the simplicity of stillness method is kind of along the same lines. It's a cleanse in addition to everything else that it does.
Yeah, it does. It has an alchemical nature to it, because when you start getting into those frequencies that are of that high level,
yeah,
what's the most important thing that can happen? It's not only accessing your potential, because you can't resonate on that level until you also begin releasing what it is that's blocking you. And we each have walked in the door with quite a bit of patterns from our own past and from generations past. And as we each heal those places within us, we're actually healing consciousness in the world.
Mm. Mm. You know that I heard something you talk about from the past. I heard something in a documentary. They were doing some studies about our interconnectedness. Mm-hmm. There's an element within oxygen that they were able to find. And they were able to do the equivalent of carbon dating of this element. And what they were finding as they examined the molecules was that each one had sort of a different date to it. That the oxygen that circumnavigates the Earth is the same oxygen that's been circumnavigating the Earth since before man was here.
Yeah.
And what really blew me away was the statement, you may be breathing the same molecules of oxygen that Adam and Moses and Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha, if you want to go back that many years, breathed through their bodies and then exhaled. And I thought, wow, that is absolutely astounding. And of course, I hear in these times talking about water shortages, especially here in California, and it's more the distribution of the water. And hopefully we're going to be getting some rain over the next few months here in California, and that will alleviate things a little bit. But the same amount of water has been on the planet, again, in different forms for eons. There's never been any more or any less. It's just what form is it in? And when it rains, when the evaporative process takes it into the air and then drops it on the ground, on the land, it's been filtered. I mean, that's the natural filtration for the planet. We have all of these, I'll call them natural, some might say supernatural or spiritual aspects, to our ability to be able to live and thrive, more than just survive, but thrive in this world. And you have found a method for doing that, it sounds like.
Yes. I'm blessed that it came to me and that I had the opportunity to share it with people and see how it is elevating people in their lives and enriching their lives. So I feel very blessed in that way. It isn't something I was aiming at all. You know, when that happens, it's like, oh, okay, got it, do this. This is really wonderful. And I'll tell you, you know, just along the lines of what you were speaking, because what you can also get from that is then you can access any thought form that has been in existence that ran through the mind of Jesus and Buddha and all of the great ones. Mm-hmm. You can access those as well. Now, simultaneously with the good news comes the not quite as good news,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's being discovered through epigenetics, is how in your lineage, your grandfather, your grandmother, your mother could have been in an environment that was extremely stressful, and it gets passed down to you,
mm-hmm.
that the genetic history of that gets passed down to you. So it's different than you're going to have blue eyes or brown eyes. That's not the same thing. But it gets passed down because of the environment. And so that's the thing, that when you begin to understand that, you can, like, have greater compassion for people who are stuck because you don't know what's in their makeup. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Minute that makeup gets cleansed, just like the cleanse your wife is going through, when it gets cleansed through the subtle body and through the physical body, a whole other person is standing there. And that's what we're here to do for each other, because as we begin getting more and more in connection to that deep knowing within us, it's not just about activating our potential. It's about literally living and breathing higher levels of consciousness that allow that to go out wider in the world. So that's what's going to make that huge difference as well. And that happens from every single one of us.
Well, Marlise, it sounds like you're making a huge difference in the lives of the people that find you and come to you and work with you, whether it's one-on-one in these sessions around the country, around the world, or through the work, through your website, through the book, The Power of Peace in You, a revolutionary tool for hope, healing, and happiness in the 21st century, and the simplicity of stillness method. And Marlise, I want to thank you so much for taking so much time with us here on the program, and look forward, if you should, I this is an open invitation to all my guests, if you're listening, but to you, Marlise, personally, if you ever find yourself in the Santa Barbara area, we would love to have you in studio to do another interview.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the invitation.
You bet. Let me remind our listeners of the website. It is Marlise Carlin, and that's MarliseKarlin.com. Again, the book is The Power of peace in you. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.